hair, lovely brown skin that is soft to the touch, wide brown eyes that gaze up at me with worry. Her name is... It is... I snarl in frustration. Why can I not remember? The storms in my mind surge, growing stronger and more dangerous by the moment. The urge to hurt, to kill, to destroy, increases beat by beat as the lightning and the storms grow wilder in my mind. Not to hurt my mate, never her, but the one that lurks nearby. Gwen, she says softly, and taps her chest between her bare, enticing breasts. Remember me? Gwen. Just like that, the storm clouds recede, and clarity returns. Gwen. I know her. I know her scent, her gentle smiles. I know that she wants to keep the other human with her, to keep her safe. Gwen, I rasp, and stroke her skin, touching her lovely breasts. She nods, but the moment is gone. Her mating scent is tinged with worry, and tension vibrates through her body. Gwen. I will remember. I hope. I gather her in my arms, nuzzling at her throat. She leans against me, resting her head on my shoulder. She still trusts me, despite my bad mind, and I am humbled by this. Whatever she needs from me, time, patience, understanding, I will give to her. I kiss her gently, then carry her back to her nest in the other room and curl up next to her. The stink of the other human hangs in the air, chokingly thick, but I bury my face in Gwen's hair and focus on her scent and her scent alone. Gwen is all that matters.
25. Gwen. I'm starting to think this crazy plan of mine to take Vaughn back to Fort Shreveport might just work. It's been 3 days since we added Mara to our party and started walking our way back to the fort. In those 3 days, Vaughn has only spaced out on me a handful of times, and each time I was able to bring him back with a few words. He hasn't attacked Mara or threatened her. I really do think this could work. We're walking under an old overpass, picking our way through rusted heaps of broken-down cars that are scattered like toys on the remnants of the highway. Tall weeds have grown between them, and in the distance is a swampy-looking runoff that's probably filled with gators since there's no city system to drain it any longer. I point off to the side, indicating Mara and I should avoid it. She nods at me and changes her path, ever quiet. Mara's not the best company, but I suspect she's nervous being around Vaughn. Heck, being around me too, since I'm taking her back to a fort. That's all right. She'll learn soon enough that no one means her harm. I've been doing my best to keep Vaughn in human form. That means walking instead of letting him fly us where we need to go. Hiking in the heat isn't my favorite, of course. By the time we stop each night, my feet and legs ache with exhaustion, and I feel like my entire body is covered in sweat. Mara never complains, but I know she's sweating because her smell gets that much worse. Other than the old plantation house, we haven't found any great places to stay that have running water. So I figure we can just shower when we get back to the fort. Vaughn stays at my side, though he occasionally shifts forms and flies off to scout around us. Sometimes he returns with a bit of blood on his scales and a dead animal for us, and we take a break to roast the thing and rest our feet. The longer he's in human form, though, the more human I think his thoughts are. I think of Liam back at the fort. We thought he was odd-looking, but his mannerisms and speech were totally human. I've never seen him shift to dragon form, so maybe it's one of those things where the longer he's two-legged, the more he thinks like us and the less he thinks like a wild dragon. It might be true, too. Vaughn seems more settled by the day. He picks up more words and remembers my name more, though he's still not a fan of Mara. I think about Rast and how he hovered around Amy as if his world depended on her, and suspect that's just a thing of his kind. they hyper-focus on their mates, or the ones they want to be their mates. I blush as I walk, thinking about all the kissing and petting we've been doing every night. Every night. Doesn't matter if there's no real shelter, like last night, or no privacy. The moment we stop, he wants to make out. It never goes far, of course. My shorts always stay on, and he never comes. Me either, for that matter. I think if either one of us had an orgasm, it'd be all over. Because we wouldn't be able to come back from that point. We kiss, we pet each other's skin, we kiss more. He touches my breasts and strokes my back and nuzzles at my throat. We kiss even more. There's so much kissing. I never knew kissing could be so intensely addictive. It's always been fun in the past, of course, but I've never craved it quite like I crave kissing Vaughn. There's something about the hot stroke of his tongue against mine, the taste of his lips, the way he holds me close. It's the intensity of it, perhaps, the way he acts as if his world doesn't exist outside of pleasuring me. Or it's the slightly rough rasp of his tongue that reminds me of a cat's tongue and makes me wonder what it'd feel like on different parts of my body. God, his tongue. It's almost as addictive as his mouth itself, and I know with just a few kisses I lose myself in his touch. I've come very close to orgasming on kisses and petting alone. And yet with all this, I still haven't made the leap. We haven't had sex. It's not that I don't want to. I'm acutely aware of how much I want him and how much he wants me. Just a look in my direction makes his cock stiffen, and since he's naked, it's very obvious. He doesn't push, though. He watches me hungrily, and I know if I even gave him the slightest hint that I'm up for it, he'd have me on the ground, naked and under him within moments. I think about that a lot. I tell myself that I don't go ahead with it right now because of Mara's presence, that her being there makes it weird. I'm lying, though. After years of living in forts, I've seen people fucking in a room filled with others. In Fort Tulsa, it wasn't uncommon to see a girl drop to her knees in front of a guy in the street because that was the only trade she might have for a bite to eat. I'm no virgin and no stranger to sex. When you live in places where privacy is less important than safety, it happens. If I'm honest with myself, I'm waiting for us to get back to Fort Shreveport. I'm still scared of messing things up. Or maybe I'm looking for excuses for this not to work out. Whatever it is, whenever he reaches for my shorts, I end things. Soon, I tell myself.
Are we close?
Mara asks, pointing at a billboard off to the side of the highway. I glance over and see familiar green spray paint covering the faded picture. Fort and safety, two exits ahead. We welcome travelers. The words are slightly smeary and faded thanks to the weather, but I recognize them. Heck, I've painted some of those billboards. Close, I agree. We'll be home soon. She flicks a glance over at me and then at Vaughn.
Are we stopping again before we get there?
Are you tired?
Me? No, I can keep going.
I look over at her, puzzled. Nervous? She shakes her head.
Then why do you ask? I'm curious.
This time Mara looks over at me with a hint of surprise on her tan, dirty features. Her eyes look brilliantly hazel in contrast against all that dirt.
Because he's not wearing pants?
Oh. Now I feel silly. She's not wrong that he'll need clothes. I'm so used to the sight of him, bare naked and all glorious golden muscle, that it's normal for me now to see him like that. I try to picture him with pants on and can't do it. He should be free and unconfined. A body as perfect as his, a form as wild as his. Those things should be shown off and displayed for everyone to admire. And, of course, that's selfish of me, because no one in the fort is going to be admiring him. They're going to be scared unless he looks as human as possible. He'll have to cover up. It didn't occur to me, I admit, to get him clothes. Mara looks at me like I'm crazy. Maybe I am. When did a big, naked, golden guy become normal to me? But it is. Mara's wise, though. If I want Vaughn to blend with everyone back at the fort, I need him to be like everyone else, and that includes pants.
I need to show them that he's civilized. Let's keep our eyes peeled for a store, then. She gestures back up the road we've been traveling. There is a sign for one, an exit or two back, if you want to backtrack. I'm surprised she noticed, but I think she's right. Mara's more observant than I gave her credit for. I know this area, and I know that there's a big box store and a strip mall in the vicinity she mentioned. They're somewhat picked over, but since they're so far out from the fort, no one gets there much. I bet we can find him something there. Good call. Do you need a break before we go on? No, I'm good, she says, shouldering her bag and turning around. I feel guilty because we've been doing a lot of walking and Mara looks small and hungry. If you want, you can go ahead and we'll meet you there, I offer. Just tell them Gwen sent you and you'll be fine. I'll come with you, she says, voice easy and even. I knew she'd say that. Mara's done her best to seem as easygoing as possible. It doesn't matter what I say and she'll agree with it. I could tell her that we're going to turn around and walk to the sea without stopping, and she'd say it was fine with her. I wonder how bad her life was before I met her. Poor Mara. I feel guilty I haven't made more of an attempt to befriend her. She's had a rough life, and I've been so obsessed with Vaughn that I haven't exactly rolled out the welcome wagon. I need to do better. So I smile brightly at her and gesture to Vaughn that we're going back. I appreciate the company. She gives me a hesitant smile and falls silent once more. Like most of what's left in post-apocalyptic Louisiana, the store's a real mess. Part of the roof is caved in and the parts that didn't cave in look as if they've been flooded. The floor is covered with dried mud and spilled items. No food, of course. Anything edible was picked over a long time ago. I've seen worse, though. I bet we can find something here, I say brightly, smiling at Vaughn. He just frowns at me and taps his mouth, our signal to indicate he didn't grasp my words. It's okay, I tell him, giving his arm a pat. He'll figure it out soon enough. Just follow.
Follow,
he echoes agreeably, and it's a word he's heard a lot in the last few days. He touches my hand and then laces his fingers through mine, and I feel my cheeks heating at that small caress. Okay, so we've been hand-holding a fair amount lately. Mara doesn't seem to mind, and I don't care if it seems weird. I enjoy it. I love touching him. There's something so damn nice about being touched by someone else that I find myself more and more addicted to it. Mara glances over at us and then heads into the store. No, I realize. It's not that I want to be touched by someone else. I want to be touched by him. Maybe I'm the addicted one and he's just humoring me. The thought makes me smile. We make our way inside the store. There's the usual clutter of junk and debris at the front, and I poke a few questionable piles with sticks to make sure that we're not stepping into a snake nest. There are no aisles any longer. Dried mud and a mess obscuring what I remember were once neatly delineated departments. Mara wanders off, and I see her at one point sticking a wrench into the folds of her baggy clothing as she glances around. A weapon. I say nothing. I can't hate on a woman trying to protect herself. Eventually, I find a section with faded pictures of men on the walls and the circular racks that used to hold clothing. They're mostly bare, but there's a lot on the floor here. Mara wanders back as I use a stick to pick through a pile. Help me look for a pair of jeans for him. If we can find something that's not rotted, we can use the sinks in the back to wash them off.
Provided they work,
Mara says, but she pokes one pile with her stick, prying something free and making a face.
I think this is a diaper.
No diapers. I glance over at Vaughn. He's watching us with a crease on his forehead, as if he can't quite figure out what we're doing. Gonna be hard enough to get him into a pair of jeans. Mara works quietly, digging through a stack and prying out a pair of denim shorts that look as if they won't fit a child and then tossing them aside. She moves over to a display table and sits down, wiping at her brow. For the first time, I realize just how oppressively hot it is in the store. We've walked all day and the temperature and humidity have spiked with the afternoon sunlight.
Mara's wearing twice as much clothing as I am, as the bikini top and shorts help cool my skin. You want to find something to wear for yourself? Something cooler?
I'm fine, she says and then peers at me. Can I ask you a question?
Sure. I find a stack of fabric something or others that look as if they've been molded together by mud and time, and pry one loose. They might be denim.
Why do you hate the people at the fort?
When I look up sharply, she shrugs her thin shoulders.
Sorry if it's a personal question, but I wanted to ask before we got there.
I'm just baffled. Why would you think I hate anyone there? I'm the mayor, was the mayor. I correct. They're my people. I love them. I want the best for them.
You want what's best for them?
She echoes flatly. I nod.
Are we or are we not bringing a dragon back into the fort?
I go silent. I poke at the dried, muddy pile of clothes at my feet, but the enthusiasm's gone out of me.
I'm not trying to be a bitch, Mara says gently. I'm really not. It's just, dragons are killers. Even if this one is acting nice enough, he's not a trained monkey, you know?
I know he's not. My voice is tight. He's a person like everyone else.
Not like everyone else.
She says that, but she doesn't know him like I do. She doesn't know the kindness in his touch, or the playful look on his face when he demands to be kissed. All she sees is a silent, glowering golden god. Of course she has concerns. I hate that I can't say that she's wrong. I want to, but I'm not sure she is. I know Vaughn is dangerous. I've known that from the first moment that he flew overhead, and I thought he was going to kill me and Andrea for daring to creep out beyond the safe borders of Fort Shreveport. I know he's deadly. I know he's a killer. But I also know he can be kind, even sweet. And Amy and Rast are perfectly fine in forts, aren't they? Of course, they have a level of bonding I've been too scared to pursue. They're tied, body and soul. She doesn't have to be at his side to know that they're on the same wavelength. I glance over at Vaughn. Handsome, tall, proud Vaughn who's looking at me as if I've lost my mind as I poke in the muck. His nostrils flare as I turn over an old shoe, and the smell of rot wafts over the oppressive air.
He might be your friend,
Mara says, her voice soft and gentle.
But I know he's not mine. I've seen the way he looks at me.
I feel defeated, deflated. How does he look at you?
Like I'm a mosquito he can't wait to swat.
I hate that she's not wrong. I've seen that too. He's fascinated by me and barely tolerates her. At first it was flattering, but now I worry. He can handle one person, but what if there are several? An entire fort full? What if he loses it and I'm not there to pull him back from the brink? Worse, what if he loses it and I'm there and it's not enough? I drop the muddy pair of jeans back into the muck and straighten. My heart hurts, but I know Mara's right. I can't take Vaughn into the fort. Not until we've completed our bond. Not until I've given him everything. My throat goes dry. I put it off and put it off because I'm scared of what'll happen when we join minds. Not that I think I'm going to be miserable with him, but that I'm not going to be enough. That mating with me will just show him how weak and flawed I am, and I'll slowly destroy him like I've been slowly destroying everyone around me, road to hell paved with good intentions and all that. Maybe that's why I've been pushing so hard to take him to the fort and more or less show him off. If I can bring him in before we've bonded, then maybe he won't need to be tied to me, the albatross around everyone's neck. Or maybe I'm just trying to convince myself that I'm good enough.
I think I found a pair of jeans,
Mara says, holding up a sodden clump of clothing.
Size 34, okay?
Leave them, I tell her, utterly defeated. You're right. I can't take him to the fort. Mara's quiet a moment.
I'm sorry.
Don't be. You're thinking of everyone's safety. It's something I should have done. I give her a faint smile. I'm really, really bad at that sort of thing. The look she gives me is understanding and full of sympathy, and it just hurts even more.
Well, Mara says, dropping the clothing back into the muddy pile she pulled it from. She wipes her hand on her equally dirty skirt and glances around.
I guess we might be able to set up some sort of camp here. We can make beds, and if there's good hunting, this might be a place worth staying for a while.
Not necessary, I tell her. I still think it's safest if we take you to the fort. You can't stay with us permanently. Like you said, he's not a trained monkey. It hurts me to even say the words aloud. Of course he's not a trained animal. Vaughn is a person, as complex and wonderful as any person. Mara doesn't know dragons like I do, but that sort of arrogant thinking is what gets me into trouble. Mara knows as much about dragons as anyone in the After does. She knows that they kill, and to be wary of them. That's all anyone has to know. I look over at Vaughn, and he's watching Mara with a frown on his face, his eyes whirling darker as if he's displeased. Vaughn! I call out to get his attention, and when he looks over, I tap my chest, asking him to say my name. He blinks at me for a long moment.
Gwen,
he says, and I smile to take the ache out of my heart.
26. Vaughn. Gwen's high spirits of earlier in the day are completely gone by the time the sun sets. She chatters with the smelly one in their fluid, mouth-twisting human language, but whatever they speak of makes her sad. Her shoulders slump with defeat, as if she has lost a battle, and the other human female comforts her with small touches and pats on the back. I do not like this. I do not like it because I do not know what is wrong. Whatever it is, they communicate it in words too fast for me to grasp, and my Gwen's face only grows sadder by the moment. I do not like her sadness. I like even less that the other touches her and gives her comfort. My possessiveness grows by the moment, and I growl when the smelly one touches her. It only makes Gwen sadder, and I feel as if I am somehow responsible. They remain in the large, dirty building, hunting through the wreckage of the human hive for a safe spot to sleep. When they find one, my Gwen lies down on the ground with a faint, sad smile for me. She is very distant, for all that she remains an arm's length away. Thunder rolls through my mind, loud and angry and unrelenting. It does not let up, and I remain utterly still, watching the females. I watch the smelly one especially. In my eyes, she is the intruder. If she makes my Gwen sweat from her eyes, I will rip her limb from limb. Storms crackle in my head, lightning crashing with brutal force. Just one wrong twitch, and...
Vaughn,
a female whispers, and pats the blankets in her nest, inviting me over. The clouds recede. I blink and refocus my eyes on the human before me. Soft eyes, brown skin, perfect, incredible smell. My mate. My mate. She has a name. Gwen. Ah, yes. Gwen, I rumble, pleased I remember it, and move to lie down next to her. I can see the sadness around her, and her melancholy makes me ache inside. I pull her against me, tucking her head to my chest and stroking her hair. I remember that she sweats from her eyes when she frets, and petting her hair helps. She gives a sad little laugh, and her arms go around me, and I keep petting and stroking, waiting to see if her eyes get wet. They do not, though, and eventually she lets out a little sigh of contentment. Across the way, I hear a low sound. The other female's blankets rustle, and her light, padding footsteps recede. She is leaving the nest to give us privacy. Good. If ever there was a time my Gwen needed comfort with touches, it is now. She likes my kisses, I remember, the mouth matings and my claws teasing her breasts. I will do all these things for her tonight. if only to wipe the sadness from her eyes. I pull her close and smooth the hair back from her face. Gwen, I whisper, loving the taste of her name on my lips. She smiles up at me, but it does not reach her eyes. Even in my arms, she looks troubled. I must remind her she belongs to me then. I place my fingers under her chin, tipping her face up to meet mine, and then kiss her. I do not give her the soft, playful kisses of before. This time, I show her the storms in my mind, the need that rips through me as the lightning rips through the clouds. I show her all of the desire and intensity I can give her. I pour everything I am into each stroke of my tongue, each flick into her mouth, each conquering thrust. I am tired of being patient, of being understanding. The storm in my mind is an insatiable beast hungry to feed, and Gwen is the only thing it wants. It craves the drenched scent of her cunt, wet with need and plump with arousal. My blood throbs at the very thought, and I redouble my efforts to conquer her mouth. She lets out a throaty moan, rubbing up against me. As I have done for the last several nights, I slide one hand to the band she wears over her breasts and tug it down her torso, freeing her pretty nipples for my touch. They are already hard and pebbled, and whenever they brush against my skin, she whimpers, sucking lightly on my tongue as she does so. I release her mouth, frantically kissing her neck and then moving lower. I want to make her as wild for me as I am for her, so I nip and lick at her fragile collarbones, and then move to her sensitive breasts. I have toyed with the tips, but tonight I am hungry to put my mouth on them, to suck them as I sucked on her tongue. With a hungry groan, I capture one breast in my hand and tease the tip between forefinger and thumb as I take the other nipple into my mouth and give it a hard lick. Gwen cries out, arching up against me. The breath catches in her throat as she presses a hand to her mouth, quieting herself.
Vaughn,
she manages, drawing out my name in that breathless human way of hers. If it is a protest, she will let me know soon enough. I continue my ministrations, nuzzling and kissing her sensitive flesh, ever aware of her body's responses. The scent of her cunt rises in the air, telling me that she responds to my touch, even as she writhes underneath me. My Gwen, my lovely, responsive Gwen, challenge me, I demand, as I drag my tongue over one hard nipple. Show me you wish to mate this time. There is no response to the press of my thoughts, though. There never is. Growling low with need and frustration, I nip at her breast and then move lower, determined. Tonight, I am going to taste all of her. I find the waist of her coverings, the thick material that hides her favorite parts from me. I have watched her closely in the past few days, and have learned how she unties it with the strange, toothed seam, and I pull it apart. Her hands move down, and I flick her away. I do not want to be interrupted. If she wants me to stop, she can tell me to stop. I do not rip her coverings, but carefully undo the fastenings and ease them down her hips. The fragrant scent of her fills my lungs, and I bite back a groan of need. I have never wanted anything as much as I want Gwen in this moment. After a moment, the dark thatch of hair between her thighs is revealed to my gaze, and my mouth waters at the sight. I discard her coverings and place a hand on the inside of her knee. I can feel her trembling, her breathing shallow, and I wait to see what she does. If she wants me to stop, I shall, but she must say it first. Gwen shivers and remains silent, her gaze locked on me. I slide my fingers along the inside of her thighs, then gently part them. A low moan escapes her throat. I growl with pleasure. Finally, she lets me know she wants me. Her scent is in the air, but it is different when she says nothing at all. I want my mate to admit that she craves my touch as much as I crave hers. With a low rumble in my chest, I lower my mouth to her damp folds and taste her. Sweetness coats my tongue, and need explodes through me. My thoughts disappear, leaving only the ravening beast behind, who is utterly entranced by the taste of his mate's cunt. The world erodes away, and there is only her hot scent, soft skin, and the clasp of her thighs. She cries out and arches, but it only brings her to my mouth again. I take control, my grip tight on her legs, as I hold her up and feast upon her. I trail my tongue over every fold, drinking every bit of her nectar down. I am ravenous for her taste, and I cannot control myself. Over and over, I drag my tongue against her softness, learning her body and reveling in her scent. Her flavor strengthens with every lap of my tongue, even as her quivering continues. I lap at her, exploring her folds and discovering which touches she likes the most. Mindless need hovers nearby, but I force myself to concentrate on pleasing her. My wants mean nothing if I cannot satisfy my mate. And yet, I did not expect that the taste of my mate would be so overwhelming. I growl even as I work her cunt with my tongue, dipping into secret, wet places. Need is the storm that tears at my thoughts this time. It is not anger nor violence, but the insistent, rapacious need to make my mate come, to bring her to climax, and let her pleasure wash over my tongue, my face, my spirit. With a flick of my tongue, I discover the small bump between her folds that makes her entire body jolt with awareness. The cry she makes is startled, and I pause in my long, slow licks, because this is new. I have never touched a female before her, but it was easy to guess how to pleasure one, find the source of her mating heat, and devour it. But this new sound she makes, I wonder if there is more I can do. I redouble my efforts to please her. There is no bit of skin that my tongue does not sweep over, no fold untouched. I use my tongue so feverishly and so furiously that she writhes against me, her cunt pushing up against my mouth. Still, she does not climax, so I must be doing something wrong. She whimpers, frustrated, and then her hand slides down to cover her cunt from my mouth. I growl and swat her away again, determined to pleasure her. "No, Vaughn," Gwen whispers, and caresses my cheek. "Watch me." I know the no word, and I lift my head, frustrated. She glides her fingertips along my jaw, then caresses my lips, before moving her hand over her cunt. Instead of hiding it from me, though, she slides the gleaming, flushed folds apart and reveals the little bud to my gaze. "Watch me," she murmurs again, and as I try to decipher that, she begins to touch herself. I am frozen in place at the sight. As I watch, she slowly, gently circles the nub with one fingertip, her movements careful and light. She eases her finger down, dipping into the wet heat of her cunt, and then moves back up to the bump, rubbing the slickness against it. Her breath quickens, and her breasts heave with need, and as I stare, riveted, she repeats those motions. I want to try it. I move in, pushing her hand aside, so I can touch her like she showed me. Gwen gives a throaty little giggle and touches my jaw again before letting her hand fall to her belly. She is not stopping me now. I latch on to the small bump and glide my tongue around it in the same manner she touched it. And Gwen sucks in a breath, her hands moving to my horns and clenching them. Ah. Pleased at her response, I continue to tease the nub with my tongue, stroking one claw along her folds even as I do so. I remember how she dipped a finger deeper to touch her core, and I want to do that too. My claws are a problem, though. I lift my head long enough to bite off the end of one claw. There's a flash of memory in my head of bad things, of shame, of Draconi warriors stripped of their rank and their claws torn away. But that feels like long, long ago, and my Gwen is here right now, her hips rolling with need. Claws do not matter. Gwen matters. Touching her matters. I push away the memory and slide my now blunted fingertip along her core. She cries out loudly, then presses a hand to her mouth as if to silence herself. The sweet taste of her grows even stronger, and her lust only fuels mine. The storms in my mind crash over my thoughts, and then there is nothing but Gwen and the cunt spread before me, begging to be licked until it is creamy with release. With one hand, I anchor her thigh over my shoulder, holding her down as I devour her cunt, working the nub with the same careful, steady motions she showed me, even though I am insatiable for her. I save that for her core, teasing one finger into her hot, slick warmth. And when her body yields to my touch, I thrust into her like I want to thrust my cock deep inside her. She cries out, over and over, her voice louder each time I lick her, until her entire body is trembling and utterly full of need. Her thighs tense, and she pushes me away, or tries to. I growl low and continue licking her, and she lets out a high-pitched, keening sound. Her folds flood with her nectar, and she quakes from head to toe, her cunt quivering tight around my finger. With a groan, I climax too, grinding my cock into the soft coverings of her nest and my fires spurting into them. Even as I do, I grit my teeth. It does not feel right to do so. I should have come inside her. My fires should be spent only inside her body. To do otherwise is an insult to my mate and her beauty. Angry at myself, I continue to lap at her cunt, determined to savor every last bit of her taste.
"Vaughn,"
she whispers, breathless. Her hands smooth along my horns and brow, and then she tries to lift my head. Her eyes are full of soft emotions. There is no anger at my disgraceful release. "Gwen." My voice is thick with emotion. I am the most fortunate of males. She bites her lip and slithers out of my grasp, her lovely thighs sliding back together again once she's out of my reach. She sits up in the nest, and I do so as well. There are so many things I want to tell her, to explain to her, but when I reach my mind to hers, there is no returning touch. Even though I have pleasured her, I still feel isolated and alone, and my chest aches with the need to claim her, to just speak to her truly, to hear her thoughts. She says soft, babbling human words as she peels away one layer of her nest and gently wipes my fires from my skin. I close my eyes, listening to the soothing sounds of her speech. For now, it must be enough.
27. Gwen.
I wipe Vaughn's release off his skin, my thoughts going everywhere at once. It's an intimate gesture, and he looks pleased at my touch. I have to admit to myself that it's not just out of kindness that I do this. I want to see if there are differences between his sperm and that of a human man's. To my surprise, it's scorchingly hot,
even through the fabric of the towel, but otherwise appears the same. The heat of it worries me a little, because it's hot enough to burn my skin, and I don't like the thought of that being inside me, blistering me from within. But Amy doesn't seem injured, so maybe I'm worrying over nothing. God, I should have asked more questions. I glance up at Vaughn's face, and my heart squeezes at the loneliness in his eyes. I feel like I failed him somehow. It's silly to think that it's my fault, but didn't we both just come? I know I was feeling good up until I saw the look on his face. Sex isn't something I've ever expected to enjoy much. I was too young for relationships in the before, back when men gave a shit about pleasing their partners. In the after, sex is all about power, a bargaining chip between parties. I've had sex. It wasn't painful or forced, just another tool in the toolbox. But it also wasn't like anything I just experienced. Being with Vaughn was different. It was everything. He had me in the palm of his hand the first time his mouth touched my pussy. Even though he was inexperienced, even the simplest touches were pleasurable. His mouth there felt 10 times more intense than my hand on myself. And when I came so hard I felt changed, like pieces slid into place. Like that's how things are supposed to be. It felt good and right. More than that, I felt sexy and beautiful and perfect. When he came to, I held my breath because it felt like we shared that perfect moment. But the sadness in his eyes tells me otherwise. I'm failing him somehow. Mara says nothing in the morning. She's silent as we pack up, no doubt worried about her arrival at the fort that I've promised will be a safe haven for her. I suspect she thinks I'm just passing her off. But it's not true. If Fort Shreveport isn't a safe place for a woman alone, I don't know that there's a safe place anywhere in the after. Her silence leaves me alone with my thoughts. I shove everything into my pack, thinking about Daniela and the fort. My sister's probably upset that I abandoned her. And yet, I'm about to abandon her for a second time in favor of following Vaughn away from the fort itself. She won't understand that I can't leave him behind. I can tell her that it's for her safety, but if I'm being honest with myself, I'm thinking about Vaughn, too. We've grown close in the last while, and I find that I reach for him at night and look for his smile first thing in the morning. I'm even starting to love the hard way he pets my head, just because there's so much fierce determination in his face when he does it. As if there's nothing more important in the world than stroking my hair. As if my thoughts have summoned him, Vaughn strolls through the room, heading toward me. Mara gives a little cough and pointedly averts her gaze from his nakedness. Still no pants? There's no point, I tell her. He's not going inside the fort, and the few times I've suggested clothing to him in the past have been met with looks of disdain. He doesn't see the need for them, and I guess a shape-shifting people wouldn't, really. Clothes would just get torn right and left. It's not normal for humans, but he's not human, and he won't be around any but me. I actually don't mind his nudity anymore. It's kind of like seeing all the beautiful marble statues at a museum. I can admire the perfection of his form, sculpted like some sort of Greek god on earth. There's one part of him that's not like the old classical statues at all, though. One part that's a lot bigger.
You won't go in with me?
Mara asks, interrupting my increasingly dirty thoughts. It'll be all right, I tell her, my cheeks heating as Vaughn strides toward me. I do my best not to stare at the parts of him she's deliberately looking away from, but I can't help but think of last night and how he gazed at me ravenously as he licked every inch of my pussy. Even now I shiver thinking about it.
Gwen,
Vaughn says my name in a tender, insistent sort of way. I smile at him, searching his gaze. The sadness and loneliness that were there last night have vanished, and I wonder if I imagined it. He comes up to me and gives me a fierce, possessive kiss that steals my breath and makes me stagger when he releases me.
Hello to you too, I manage.
He gestures at the sky and then his mouth, our shorthand for him needing to go hunting to eat. I nod, understanding, and he leans in and gives me another quick kiss, then paces away 3 steps and flings himself into the air. Mid-jump, he shifts to a massive gold dragon and flies away, leaving me with whipping hair and mixed emotions. I watch him go until he disappears between the roofs of the nearby buildings, then turn to Mara. We should start walking. She nods and shrugs her pack onto her back. Ready? My feet hurt, and for some stupid reason I hate seeing Vaughn fly away. It makes me feel abandoned, needy. That is not good, Gwen, I chide myself. How am I supposed to make sense of his feelings when I can't even make sense of my own, though? I do know we can't fly into Fort Shreveport, though, no matter how tired I am of walking. A dragon arrival will just send everyone into a panic. It's best to walk. It's just, does Vaughn have to go hunting now, when I'm feeling all needy after last night? Irritated at myself for my own wishy-washy emotions, I fling my pack on my shoulder. Let's just go. Mara and I walk in silence. She's rarely in a chatty mood, and this morning I'm not feeling like being a tour guide. I'm too focused on Vaughn and my conflicting feelings. His sad look last night, the way he touched me, the inexperienced way he touched me, as if he'd never been with another woman. I smell smoke, Mara says after a time. He's hunting, I reply, and then inwardly wince at how pissy my tone sounds. Ah, is all Mara says, and I feel like an even bigger ass for being short with her. It's not her fault I'm unsettled. I'm sorry, I say as we continue walking. I'm really not used to all this. She doesn't reply for a long while, and my thoughts tumble around themselves again. I wonder what Vaughn is thinking about last night. I wonder if he's regretting what we shared and that's why he's distant. Or maybe I did something wrong. Maybe it wasn't good for him and that's why he's avoiding me. But then again, I don't even know if he's avoiding me. He kissed me this morning. And yet I can't help but feel there's distance between us. I can't get that incredibly sad look on his face from last night out of my mind. Is it because he misses home? Regrets me? Is completely insane? I wish I had answers. I wish Amy were here to bounce ideas off of. I can't help but feel there's something obvious that I'm missing. Some clue that will make me understand Vaughn better that I'm just not grasping. Mara coughs into her hand, and in the breeze the smell of smoke grows stronger. It makes me think of Vaughn even more, and how beautiful he is both in dragon form and otherwise. How graceful and strong. The smooth lines of his back and the pattern on his golden body that looks like scales, but when I touch him it feels like skin.
You guys fight?
I glance over at Mara. No, not really. It's just complicated.
Figured I'd ask, considering if you break up he's going to eat me.
I want to tell her she's wrong, but I don't know if she is. The thought's a sobering one. I promise we haven't broken up. It's just complicated, like I said.
Because you're not used to dragons?
Relationships, I admit.
Relationships are easy. He demands you suck his dick and make him food, and you decide if he's worth it or you should find a better protector.
That's awful. And far too accurate considering her past relationships. And mine. We continue walking. After another pause, she asks,
So, you're in a relationship with the dragon?
I think so. I don't know that he's getting much out of it, though.
Are you?
She asks, kicking aside an old soda can. Mara coughs again, the smoke bothering her. That makes me think. Am I getting what I need? Ever since Vaughn arrived, I've been struggling with feeling as if I've been exiled from the fort and everyone I know and love. I feel like I can't go back to them, and duty and guilt weigh heavily on me. Daniela needs her sister, and the fort needs a mayor to step in until Amy gets back. If nothing else, another set of hands would be helpful with the gardening, scavenging, or monitoring the gate, because there's never enough people to do everything that needs to be done. I know our food stores were getting skimpy with more mouths to feed, but out here, I can't do anything about it. And Daniela needs me. I hate that I have to keep reminding myself that my sister's traumatized and just escaped an awful situation. She's family. I should be there for her. Instead, I'm running off with Vaughn. I'm worried about Vaughn. I'm thinking of a sexy dragon man when I should be thinking about my pretty, fragile sister. I can't be in two places at once, and I feel incredibly torn.
I should be with Daniela. I should cross through the gates of the fort and never leave her side again. But she has an entire fort to support and help her. Andrea will be there for her. Cass, Luce, the others. She has a support system. Vaughn has no one but me. It's not enough of a reason, I know. It's not the right reason. But it's the one that moves me the most. It's not that I'm sacrificing myself to save Fort Shreveport. It's that Vaughn needs me. And I feel like he's a creature that's not used to needing anyone. I shouldn't think of him over my sister, but it's different. So different. It's complicated, is all I say again, since Mara seems as if she wants an answer.
Can't be that complicated. I heard you last night.
I stumble on a rock, embarrassment flaming over me. Of course she heard me. We weren't exactly trying to be quiet. I knew she was in the next room over. I just didn't care much. Not when his face was between my thighs. Ugh. Since she so bluntly called it out, and me, I don't really know what to say.
It's fine, she tells me.
Her voice is casual as ever.
If it makes you feel any better, I had one protector that liked for me to service him in a room full of other men so he could show off. Said if I didn't, he'd pass me around like a church offering plate.
Dear Lord. I stop and stare at her in horror.
It's okay, she tells me, her steps never pausing. He's dead. Had an accident. Real shame.
She smiles brightly. I'm starting to think Mara's a harder nugget than I gave her credit for. Well, I'm glad you're here with me now, I say after a moment. Do you miss the other guy? The one you were with? It's the first time I've asked, and I feel ashamed. Maybe she loved him. Maybe he was good to her. She only snorts. I smile to myself. Maybe not.
Sure you won't stay at the fort? Mara asks.
I can't. Vaughn needs a friend.
Everyone needs a friend.
It occurs to me that I'm an asshole.
Mara.
She glances over at me, a smile crossing her dirty, thin face.
I'm teasing you. I don't need anyone, not really. I'm a survivor, even if it might not seem like it sometimes. I'll scurry on through. I can look after myself.
You mean find a protector? Mara shrugs, her feet crunching on a bit of gravel.
It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man inside a fort must be in want of a dick-sucking.
What?
Jane Austen. Kinda.
Weird. Not many men in Fort Shreveport.
Well, I've never hit up the ladies, but there's a first time for everything.
Mara says cheerfully. You don't need a protector. You don't have to service anyone just to survive. We all look out for each other.
Hmm.
She doesn't sound convinced. Mara glances over at me.
Sure you won't come with me into the fort?
I'm tempted, but only a little. I think of Daniela, and then I think of Vaughn. Daniela is surrounded by people who love and care for her. Vaughn's alone. I need to stay with him. He needs me.
Figured I'd ask anyhow.
I know. I gaze down at the road, determined not to look back and scan the skies for Vaughn. I don't want to seem too needy. Well, needier than I already am. Oddly enough, I miss having him here at my side, touching my hand and twining his fingers with mine. Such a small touch, but I find it's the small touches that linger in my mind.
Are we close?
Pretty close. I hope Vaughn returns soon. Next exit ramp. Mara coughs again.
Weird question, but is your fort supposed to be burning?
I look up, startled. Sure enough, there's a column of black smoke dead ahead right where Fort Shreveport is. My entire body freezes with terror. Oh my God!
28. Vaughn. A nearby panicked scream pierces my soul. The storms rage in like thunder, a torrential downpour of fury and madness that threatens to suck my consciousness away. I immediately bellow an answering call, lost to emotion. My mate. My mate is in danger. With a furious cry, I wheel about, following her scent through the sky and tracing it down to the broken path she follows. Another female stink pervades the air, and for a moment, bloodlust rages through me. The urge to rip, to rend, to tear apart snaps through my mind, lightning quick, and fire blossoms in my mouth. I open my jaws wide, ready to flame. The second female drops to the ground and scrambles under one of the metal carcasses that line the road, even as my mate staggers forward, running between them and climbing over rocks. She sobs, and I can smell the scent of her eye sweat on the air. I can pause to destroy the other female, to claw open her hiding place and tear her limb from limb, but my mate needs me. I glide forward and scoop her up in my arms, clutching her against my breast as I bellow a challenge toward any attackers.
"No, Vaughn,"
my female chokes out, her hand slapping at my scales.
"Put me down."
She points at the distance, where the familiar, pleasing scent of ash tells me that one of my brethren has been here. My senses flare with alertness. Another scent is upon the air. Another Draconi in battle form. I snarl, bristling with anger, as I tuck my wings close. The scents here slide together, flooding my mind in a never-ending storm. Humans, smoke. Humans, char. Ash. Humans, my mate. I struggle to think of her name, her face. I know she is in my clutches, but I cannot see her. I cannot see her. The storms threaten to tear her away from me. I force my snarling, surging thoughts to focus in on her. The thunder in my head eases just a little, just enough for her worried face to come through. Gwen. She is Gwen. I pull her to my muzzle and run my nose over her soft face, her hair. She likes it when I stroke her hair. It makes her eyes stop sweating. I remember that. I croon softly to her, sending mental link after mental link to her, desperate for her to pick up the connection between us, to touch her mind to mine and anchor us both. There is nothing there, and despair makes the storms rage once more. A soft brown hand caresses my nose.
Vaughn, put me down, please.
Her voice is soft, so tender, so beautiful. I nuzzle her close again. She gestures at me repeatedly as I caress her, and eventually I realize all these hand wavings are supposed to communicate something. Ah, she wants me to set her down on the ground. Reluctantly, I do so. Gwen immediately races for the metal carcass and talks to the other human, pulling her out from underneath it. The other female stinks, but even so, I can smell her fear above all else. Good. I lower my head and whip my tail back and forth, agitated. If another Draconi is nearby, I will possibly have to fight him for my mate, since she does not carry my fires yet. He can have the other female, though. I will not fight over her. My mate pulls the trembling, filthy female forward and approaches me. She makes the gesture for me to shift forms, and I growl. I can protect her best in battle form. Why would I switch to a weaker body? But she insists, over and over again. I pretend not to hear her entreaties, even though it eats at me with every call of my name. The urge to protect her is too great to be ignored. As she continues to beg me to shift, though, my resolve weakens. Would it be such a terrible thing to please her? I could switch forms in an instant, the blink of an eye, really. Any Draconi arriving to challenge for her would be scented on the wind, and the smell here is hours old. The only other scent on the breeze is more humans and their hive. I can handle humans. Reluctantly, I shift forms and straighten, flexing my tense body as I look around, half expecting to see a challenger attack from the shadows, seeking my glorious, desirable mate. When no one arises, I relax, Just a little. Gwen comes to my side, touching my arm and speaking so fast that I cannot follow her words. Her eyes are sweating, and she is panicked, gesturing at the fire in the distance. Ah,